coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Friday morning, a beautiful Friday morning here at Saratoga as we lead into the holiday weekend, closing weekend here, but four great days of racing still ahead, and we'll talk a little bit about that as the show progresses. Coming up a little bit later on, Joe Applebaum, president of the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. We'll talk a little bit about their mission, but also Joe has a horse in a little bit later today, does some pin hooking as well, and one of his pin hook horses won a race on Showcase Day just recently. We'll touch on all of that with Joe coming up. Dan Collins from Bonaventure Stables, he'll be in a little bit later. Down at the Clubhouse Racebook today, it's Bonaventure Day. First 50 folks through the door get some Bonaventure swag, and you also get a $2 win bet on their horse River of Dreams in the second race today. Last year on this day, they're Leave 'Em at the Gate won at about $30, so we'll see if the folks today can get a win ticket as well, but Dan will come up a little bit later on. Top of the show, however, as we're wrapping up the meet, been saying all meet long, want to get Pat in. Pat McKenna, Director of Communications, New York Racing Association. Thought the end of the meet was a suitable time because we can do a little recap. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you in. And let's just talk first. I think the topic that everybody has talked about throughout the meet, and I was at Andy's radio show last night, David O'Rourke, one of the guests, and he mentioned next year, just from a business perspective, and I thought this was interesting, a lot of the buzz I've heard, people like the 2 days, but they would rather have Wednesday off and race Monday. And David O'Rourke yesterday said, just from a business standpoint, he'd kind of like to do that just so they could compare 1 year to the other. So maybe things get tweaked for next year, but he said there would be a meeting with some business people here at Saratoga coming up in October. But talk a little bit about your perspective and the job you and your office do and the 2 weeks and the different schedule.
Yeah, I was also at Andy's radio show last night and heard those comments from Dave. We met with some hotel owners, some business owners yesterday, and they actually expressed the fact that Sunday tends to be a slow day for them no matter what. There seems to be this idea that Sunday used to be really busy at the bars, the restaurants, the hotels, and has and the change in the schedule has affected that. We kind of heard the opposite yesterday from business owners, but what Dave has mentioned is that he's going to talk to the Chamber of Commerce in early October, you know, get the feedback from a wide variety of folks to see how they were impacted. But at the same time, you know, we sit here today and we'll break the all-time handle record at some point this weekend as early as Sunday. So that comes despite the fact that we canceled an entire Saturday race card. It's pretty extraordinary. By replacing all of those Mondays by an additional weekend, it's had a hugely positive effect. And clearly the racing product on track is one that people are eager to bet on. So ultimately, hard to argue with those numbers when it comes to a Wednesday to Sunday format. But to Dave's point, you know, it would be interesting to be able to compare them, you know, next year doing it a little bit differently. But I think the Wednesday through Sunday format has worked tremendously well. I feel like the first couple of weeks you heard some chatter out there. We're certainly not immune to any of that. But in the end, It's been really positive. And we were, for a very long time, the outlier in the sport. You know, as you see the full crap numbers, as you see these other data points, I mean, when did Del Mar go to a five-day format? Six, 7 years ago, at least. So, you know, it partially sort of comes with the times, but to have 2 days off, you know, it's interesting to get the perspective of everyone that makes all this possible, right? Riders appreciate the extra day of rest. horsemen, the backstretch workers that, again, none of this would be possible without this entire ecosystem coming together for this 40-day celebration of racing. So it requires, I think, it's not only the financials, nor should it be. It's also the way that, all the participants have experienced this meet.
Yeah, the meet. I enjoy the 2 days. Everybody I've talked to, I think the 2 days gives you a little break and you get a legitimate day off. For me, I would normally be spending the day off prepping for the next day. And now there's kind of a – so I've liked it, certainly. And as I say, the buzz I've gotten, I seem to think everybody likes the 2 days. Let's go back. You've kind of alluded to it with handle numbers and attendance numbers and whatnot. Go back to last weekend. I took some shots around the facility last weekend. We have some folks on the apron and up in the box seats. And also – you get a shot out towards the back of the grandstand area with chairs everywhere, folks trying to find their spots. But talk a little bit about Traverse Day, because the numbers were phenomenal there. And as you alluded to, it was a great day of racing as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've been having grown up in Albany, coming up for Traverse as long as I can remember. I thought it was one of the great Traverse Day. Yeah. I feel like that sentiment was expressed through just anecdotally the people that you talk to around here. I mean, really great results in the Travers to have Shug win his fourth with Johnny V. You know, all of that made for kind of a perfect bookend to this meet. In a lot of ways, it feels like Travers Day is the sort of the conclusion in some ways of the meet. It's not, and I think a lot of people were lucky enough to be here this week.
Best week.
Exactly. Yeah, I ran into Andy Beyer. He comes up, you know, every year now for Woodward. He does Talking Horses on Saturday. Same kind of thing. It's a little bit slower. You can breathe a little bit more. You can exhale after that Travers. But again, I mean, what a fantastic day of racing. I'll rip off Serling's line that, you know, Saratoga and then Travers is just such a fitting celebration of all that makes this place so special.
Yeah, and great stakes results on Saturday that, again, put an exclamation point onto what you alluded to earlier. You toss in McKenzie and Sister Charlie earlier in the meet.
Yep.
Mattoli coming back in and getting redemption on the weekend last weekend. All the big Midnight Bishu and Elate, all the big performers lived up to the expectation. Yeah. That and made it fun.
Go back to the test.
Yeah.
I had sort of Larry Colmus's call ringing in my ears the other day, a test for the ages, and it really was.
Yeah. It's been on track. It's been phenomenal. And again, the numbers are going to wind up very well despite some funky weather earlier in the meet with a cancellation, a whole day heat and freakish rainstorm that canceled half a card. But as you said, the attendance numbers are great too.
Yeah, they are. We'll do paid attendance well north of a million. Probably won't get to that 1.1 million number where we have been each of the last 3 years. But again, that's just because we had to cancel a full Saturday. So the response up here continues to be pretty extraordinary. I mean, this is an experience. This is a meet that stands apart from the rest of the sport, and for good reason. You know, it's, you look at the way that people react to it, you see the appreciation on people's faces, you see the excitement. I mean, this is truly a spot that people come back to every year that feels like, you know, it does balance all the history and tradition with some of the new stuff, like the 1863 Club, which I think felt like a pretty seamless addition, not a subtraction in any way, so...
Talk about that. What was the buzz from your perspective? Everybody I've talked to, I was in their opening day. There was a Capital OTB lunch, and I had some friends there this weekend, so I stopped in to say hello.
Sure.
And my two visits, certainly. And speaking to the people this past weekend, there was a group at the table, and everybody kind of said, man, this is beautiful. It's glass front that looks out on the track, and as compared to the tent that used to be there.
Right.
Just a fabulous facility on the bottom floor. Then the upper floors, some upscale seating as well. Sal Kumin was in earlier, and he had a spot upstairs and was raving about that. But what's the feedback been on the 1863?
I think it's been really good. I think, you know, the fact that we were able to get this done in 10 months, ten months that spanned.
I was driving by when I was here locally in town in the off season, and you'd look over and kind of the countdown's going, but it made it.
I was up here a bunch of times, and you sort of hold your breath, like any project that size. Not that I would know the first thing about how to construct a building, but... something like 130,000 hours of labor packed into 10 months, three floors. It's been really a really positive response. And again, I think that our job is to provide folks with options and a variety of different kinds of experiences. You know, everything from the picnic tables in the backyard to now kind of a different hospitality experience in the 1863 Club. Like I said, I don't think that it takes anything away. I think it's a great addition, certainly to replace that tent, which I don't think was in line with what anyone would want from a banquet kind of experience, from a large event kind of experience with that first floor, the dining club on the second floor. I think there's certainly an appetite to get more folks to be able to be in there, you know, perhaps open up some of the daily inventory during the week. But, you know, these are the things that come with experiencing the building for the first time this year and folding it into the entire sort of suite of inventory that we have when it comes to hospitality. So I think it's been a great addition.
I totally agree. We're back here on the backstretch, and you look across, and I think it fits in very nicely. It was a great job, you know, architecturally and whatnot. Talk a little bit about your office, because up here at Saratoga, obviously, it's a little bit different. Local media, for us, it's our big league up here. So I'm on Channel 10 Wednesday, Thursday, Friday evenings, give a couple of picks, and then the next morning as well. But they have that presence out by the paddock where they do the local newscast.
Yep.
The other local channels are here quite often. Local newspapers, a lot of coverage. So for you guys, I think it's got to be a lot of work, but it also has to be a lot of fun, because you're involved every day with the local media and pushing out the product.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this certainly feels like the Major League franchise for upstate New York, and I think the media, you know, the media reflects that, right? We have Channel 10 here every day. We have Spectrum News every day. I find myself in front of the camera pretty frequently up here. And then the rest of the communications department that really does the hard work up here in terms of advancing and recapping every stakes race. So, you know, you guys see the notes, the barn notes that they put out every day. Keith McCalmont, Naja Thompson, Brian Bowl, Vanessa Rodriguez is our community relations. She manages the community relations booth where we have nonprofits every day of the meet. It's a great way to give back. It's a great way to promote the good work that service providers and nonprofits are doing. But that team is out there. I'm sure you see them in the winner's circle in the press box, doing an incredible amount of, producing an incredible amount of content. I mean, it feels like a daily newspaper almost every day when you look at the scope and the variety of the content that they're producing by talking to trainers, talking to jockeys, talking to all the participants, finding interesting storylines. It's they do a fantastic job.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. It's like you're putting out a little newspaper every day with the notes and whatnot, the recaps of all the stakes. I do see your guys bouncing around the winner's circle, and they're out here obviously also previewing stakes. They're out here in the mornings as well, out here on the backside.
Yep, absolutely.
So a great job there. Talk a little bit about what's coming up over the closing weekend here. There's a barbecue. We also have the giveaway coming up on Sunday, the last giveaway of the meet. So what can people look forward to over the next 4 days?
Yeah, well, the Woodward tomorrow. So this is Fan Appreciation Week. I think it's a fitting way to close out the meet. Again, can't emphasize enough that the fan support is humbling in a lot of ways. None of this stuff is possible without the support of the best fans in racing, and probably some of the best fans in sports throughout the capital region, around the tri-state, and certainly around the country. Fan Appreciation Week, we actually have a dog adoption clinic today from 12 to 4 over by the Big Red Spring. If you're interested in adopting a dog, I think we have 15 or 16 dogs on the property that are available. But also, if you're interested in finding out more about what that process entails, how to get from A to B, I think it's a great... great cause to support. Tomorrow, obviously, the focus is rightly on the racetrack with some really interesting stakes action tomorrow. Sunday, we have the final giveaway of the meet, a hooded sweatshirt.
I think that is going to be very popular. I think there are going to be big lines for that.
I agree. Yeah,
that's nice.
And it looks like really good weather throughout the rest of the weekend. So always bittersweet. I'm sure you share that
absolutely.
When we get to Labor Day weekend. You start to reflect and wax a little nostalgic about everything that we've all experienced over the last, you know, 2+ months now. But it does feel like a successful meet, one that we can hopefully wrap a bow on Monday, you know, when they run the hopeful and you know, the meet leaders are all but assured at that point. So I think it's been a great couple of months.
Yeah, owner and trainer pretty much showed up, Chad and Klarovich. But the jockey title is going to be interesting over the next few days. That's going to be fun to watch. And I think they all are into it. And on the human side, to win up here at Saratoga, very important. Empire 6 with a mandatory on Monday as well.
Right.
That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to take a shot. I have a bankroll at that, so we're hoping nobody hits it before that. But we also... I'm going to take my last shot at the low rollers, which I've been whiffing on this year. And I'll mention that the last one comes up on Sunday there. But as you've talked about the end of the meet, just before we let you go, that leads into perfectly Belmont coming up. And with the construction down there and whatnot, Belmont a little bit different for the fall meet. So just alert folks what to expect on the move down to Belmont.
Sure. Yeah. The construction of a brand new arena at Belmont Park is not insignificant. You know, there will be changes, there will be adjustments that fans, horsemen, everyone involved will have to make, and certainly Joe Applebaum can talk about it from the perspective of his membership. You know, first of all, opening day Friday, we'll do a 3 p.m. post time on weekdays, 1 p.m. during the weekends. We have the Turf Triple concluding on Saturday, so right back at it, starting with opening day, into a pretty big Saturday at Belmont Park that'll air on NBC. So not a lot of rest as we turn the page to the Belmont Fall meet, which is always a great one. And then it'll be truncated into two parts. So we'll go back over to Aqueduct a little bit earlier than normal. Generally, we're over to Aqueduct last week in October for the Breeders' Cup. You know, we're all at Aqueduct for the Breeders' Cup. This year, we'll go. The last day of racing at Belmont is October 6th. So then we'll go over to Aqueduct following that. But this is a significant, you know, two plus year project. So I'll say right at the outset that you know, we appreciate the patience of fans. I think it'll be a different kind of experience. The backyard will change. You know, certain things that people have been accustomed to at Belmont will change. You know, I think there's a ton of positives, and ultimately this will be a hugely positive project for the future of thoroughbred racing in New York. The fact that we'll have a full-time, 24-hour-a-day train station, you know, right there, essentially on the property. I mean, it'll be a bit of a hike, but when you think about something like the Belmont Stakes, where that spur, just the nature of that infrastructure, is so challenging every year to get 75, 80, 90,000 people into and out of the property. You know, a couple years of maybe some bumps and some adjustments, but at the end of that process, it'll be a world-class sports and entertainment destination, I think, like almost no other, certainly on the Eastern Seaboard, and, you know, one that horse racing and horse racing in Belmont Park can truly shine.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because it looks like, you know, it has the 21st century right in its headlights,
right,
as far as a sporting facility, and that's going to be great, not just for New York racing, but given the importance of New York racing to the sport in general, it's going to help the sport in general. As does, I mentioned all the NYRA people here, the Fox MSN show, you lost your microphone, but I will vamp while you grab that. But the Fox MSG show has been fabulous as a promotional vehicle for not just New York racing, but racing in general, and getting down to Belmont again. Nice stakes action always. I mean, we always look at the stakes up here and the grade ones up here, but folks, don't forget, lots of great one.
You're right.
Grade
one racing, we're also action. Focused up here on what we're doing and what our offices and departments are doing. Huge credit to the TV operation for doing what they do. I mean, essentially covering the full card every day. There's a simulcast and there's this, you know, Saratoga Live show. So it's impressive. The ratings for Traverse Saturday were right in line with what NBC did in years past. So to come right out of the box and do that, have some really fun, interesting things like those jockey introductions that generated a lot of buzz on Twitter and in various places. Why not try new stuff and see what sticks? And can we make some changes? Sure. But I think the jockeys were excited about it. It was an interesting thing for fans to latch onto. So, onward.
Yeah, and looking forward to the last 4 days. As you say, it's a little bit bittersweet, but folks can follow all of the action via you in the press office. Go to the website, and you can catch press releases every day from those folks covering stakes action and looking at previews as well. And you guys do a great job also accommodating and helping out the local media. So I'll tip my cap to you on behalf of them as well. But again, right around the corner, Belmont, and a great fall meet as well. Pat, appreciate the visit.
Thanks a lot.
Pat McKenna, Director of Communications for the New York Racing Association. We'll take a break when we come back. He is in the green room with family, I see there. Joe Applebaum, the President of the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. He's up next. Stay tuned.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contests, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, our friend Joe Applebaum is in the house, president of the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. Joe, good morning.
Seth, great to be here.
Always. We'll talk a little New York horsemen, but also talk a little bit pin hooking, and you have a horse in today, so we're going to cover all the bases.
Love it. Love it.
And let's start out, New York Thoroughbred Horsemen. I said when you sat down, and I talked just a moment ago, Pat McKenna, the NYRA perspective. What's the perspective of the horsemen? The extended schedule a little bit, the 2 days off. I like the 2 days off. I think the buzz is everybody likes it. The extended schedule, I suppose, for horsemen, maybe some housing issues there. But how was the new schedule received?
So I think the overwhelming response has been very positive to 5 days a week. 6 days a week is a huge grind to put horses on the track and try to live a semblance of a normal life, right? We know our trainers don't really live normal lives, but to get even close to that, having 2 days is great. The extended meet, what's happened over the years is we have so many of our horsemen who live up here permanently or semi-permanently now. It's been less of an issue. We do have some issues getting staff up here, making sure there's enough housing over an extended time. But I think that'll change over, certainly for next year. This year we made the shift on a abbreviated notice. So, you know, so far so good. It's worked out really well.
And as I say, from fan perspective, I've heard that too. And I mentioned I was at the Andy Serling radio show last night. David O'Rourke was there. He said maybe next year they would tweak and Tuesday, Wednesday off and race Monday. Not that that's a sure thing, but he said to meet with some of the business people up here in October, and I'm sure the horsemen will have input too. But maybe the comparison would be interesting. But yeah, the 2 days off for me, I got to do my laundry and sleep in one day.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what Dave and his team have planned, but the most shocking thing is that people show up to Andy Serling's radio show. That's who knew?
But if he's watching, I'll get a text now. The phone will buzz.
I hope so. That was why I said it.
It was actually a pretty good crowd. I go down and get my hot turkey sandwich, and Dale was there last night, so that was entertaining. Chad,
no, it's great. A pint of Guinness, you watch the show. If you've never been down to the Parting Glass to see the show, it's great.
And that's what's fun about Saratoga too, and that's part of it. The town, I always say it's what's outside the fence that makes Saratoga so special. You walk downtown and people are talking about the double the next day, the triple they had that afternoon, and that just reflects that downtown at the Parting Glass.
I couldn't agree with you more. What makes Saratoga special is the community. It's our community. It's a racing-focused community. I can walk into any bar and restaurant any night of the week, and I see horsemen, I see jockeys, I see trainers, I see fans. The fans know more about what's going on than I do with my own horse sometimes. And it's just a great atmosphere and something that, for me, that's unique in this country, that for these 2 months, racing's predominant in the town. Yeah. And it's just a great feeling.
Yeah, it's fun. If you're a horse racing fan and then even deeper into the game as you are, it's just a lot of fun up here. Talk a little bit about New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. What's the mission of the organization?
Well, our main mission, we represent all the owners and trainers here in New York. There's about 5,000 of us. Oh. Just so it's a big club.
Yeah.
Our first and foremost mission is to take care of our backstretch workers. So we spend about $2 million of essentially purse money on all of your behalfs to take care of these workers. We have a free medical clinic for them. We do scholarship programs for them. We have drug and alcohol counseling, English as a second language, recreation programs. I just missed the big soccer finals. There's quite a good soccer league here in the summer, and Monday night we had the championship. So it's really great programming. We also do a lot on aftercare and horse safety and advocating for our horsemen and our place in the ecosystem.
Yeah, I drove by probably a couple of weeks ago. It must have been a Monday night. The lights were on over there.
We got lights. We have a full field. It's quite good soccer, I got to say.
You mentioned aftercare, and let's talk a little bit about that. I think we have a graphic with a couple of your programs, the Take the Lead and the Take Two program. Talk about the NYTHA and aftercare and how it clearly over the last 10 years that's become more and more of an issue, but you guys have kind of taken the lead on that, not to create a pun here with the Take the Lead program, but fill us in.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. 10 years ago, if you looked at our industry's efforts on aftercare, they were a little paltry. But we've come an incredibly long way. Take the Lead has just retired its 500th horse. And when I say retire, I don't mean sticking them in a pasture somewhere. We're putting them into second careers so that they're useful and they work with humans for the rest of their lives. And that's really the key. We're going to spend, starting this year, over $1 million a year retiring and rehoming, which is really the way we should be talking about our horses. Andy Belfiore, who leads our efforts here, Rick Schossberg, they're national leaders in this effort. So we have a lot to be proud of here. NYTHA itself uses about $300,000, but we're getting now money from everyone. Most recently, we've instituted a fee on claiming horses. Let's be honest, the claiming population is our most vulnerable population of thoroughbreds. So we felt it appropriate to put a small fee on those horses, 1.5% of the claiming price. That's going to raise us another $350,000. And with money from the breeders, with money from a per start fee, with money from our owners, we're going to be over $1 million. And that's going to be able to meet all of our needs in New York in terms of rehoming our horses.
I had Rick in earlier when we talked in previous years as well, and he said, you know, if you're an owner or a trainer or whatever and you have a horse that their career is clearly waning, get in touch with you guys, and they point folks in the right direction.
Please call our office. If you're an owner or a trainer and you have a horse that needs to be retired, we will help you. We will take care of it for you. That is what these programs are for. Call the NYTHA office. It's your responsibility. It's all of our horses. We owe it to them.
Yeah.
Okay? We're their trustees. So we want to do the right thing. We're doing it. The people have really gotten into the program when they see it's been a burden. I remember 10 years ago trying to retire a horse. You didn't know what to do. Yeah. There was no one to call. We had nowhere. You didn't know. You had to kind of make it up on your own. We have resources for you. There's money available to get vet work done, to get a van somewhere. It's a good program.
Yeah, that's great. And as I say, you guys have been at the forefront of that as it's become more and more of an important issue to fans in the industry. Speaking of fans in the industry and whatnot, another important issue, bringing new owners in, and NYTHA has some initiatives there as well.
Well, the biggest thing we've worked on this year is the Empire Racing Club. We have almost 160 members, and it's nominal ownership. But what we're really doing is giving people the experience of ownership, teaching them what it's like, letting them see the backside of the racetrack, an insider's view, with the idea that we're going to encourage those people to become full-time owners. That's really what we're looking to do. When you look at the economics of the game, people talk about the lack of horses or things. What we really are missing is a lack of owners. And we need to be able to start programs to encourage people to participate. It's the greatest game in the world. It's a ton of fun. I've been doing it for a long time now. But it can be daunting getting involved. And we're trying through the club, through some other programs we're going to partner with Niron in the next year, give people easier access, bring down that barrier to entry, make it less forbidding, and hopefully that brings people in the door to ownership. You'll really enjoy it.
Modeled after the Churchill Club.
Our club was modeled after the Churchill Club. They've had enormous success. We're doing things a little differently. We're really high on the experiential and on the learning side.
Will pull people into the game, particularly up here at Saratoga. You know, a number of times during the meet, I'll have some partnership people in, and I have Dan Collins from Bonaventure coming up next. And they talk about the social aspect, and you go and you see, and Dan and his group, I gave a seminar when they had the group in the tent by the paddock, and just smiles, and they're happy to be there and get exposure to the paddock and the backside. And if you get into the winner's circle, even better.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So, it's a great way to kind of get introduced to the game, and you get more information at the NYTHA website. All right, let's shift away. And again, if folks want more information, New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's website, news and covers all of those programs as well. But I want to talk now a little bit about you, the pin hooking. You have a horse in this afternoon, but before we start out, we've had you talk about it before. But talk about the pick six that got you into the game.
Again? I've been coming here for a long time.
Can't hear this story enough. Probably
well,
you either.
It's a good story. I've been coming here for well over 30 years with a bunch of friends. About 2001, 2002, I'm sure someone out there will quickly correct me. My friends and I hit a pick six for well over $100,000, which 18 years ago was real money back then. And it was in the backyard and with Dr. Kashnikow charging home in the four-star Dave on Travers Day, no less. We had a life-changing score. And two of my friends and I took about half that money and started claiming horses with Leah Giamardi, who's still a trainer here. We claimed a horse named Country Only from my now partner, Carlos Morales. I didn't know him at the time.
Funny.
Yeah, we claimed the horse for $50,000. We put him in a race 2 weeks later for $75,000, and Scott Lake claimed him off of us. And it's kind of all comes full circle. Scott Lake trained a horse named Pashito the Shea for us, went to the Breeders' Cup, was a multiple stakes winner, and that's really what kicked it off. And in the early 2000s, we got extremely lucky, real beginner's luck, where we bought and sold a bunch of horses that we wound up making some money on. Carlos and I eventually met up about 2004 and bought a farm together. Initially did pin hooking. We've kind of shifted our program a little. We still are what I would call boutique sellers of two-year-olds. So we'll sell about 50 two-year-olds a year at the Ocala Breeder Sales. So let's give a little plug to that at the April sale, which has become the world's greatest two-year-old sale. But what we've done is, along with some other partners, we have about 18 broodmares here in New York State now, and we supplement the foals that we birth with ones that we buy at auction. So we've become primarily buyers of weanlings, not yearlings, and that with the our own foal crop is what we bring to the two-year-old sale, which is a little different model than most of the two-year-old sellers. We somewhat patterned it on Ocala Stud, which is a very famous farm in Ocala, who takes a little bit more patient approach.
And you guys are off the hook.
Off the hook, yeah.
Which kind of the clever pin hookers off the hook. But speaking of pin hooking, wanted to pull up because you had a nice horse that was bought from you in a pin hook situation, won a stakes race on Showcase Day just recently. This is the funny side from August 23rd. City Man is going to be the number three horse. And this is interesting, and I have the page after we watch the stretch run here. And again, City Man's the number three horse. I have the page that you bought Subsequently, again, he went into the Ocala sale, but you bought the horse as a weanling. Up here, the Saratoga October sale.
That is correct.
So talk a little bit about what attracted you to the horse, and then talk about taking a weanling and what is the situation that gets you to, over a year away, the two-year-old sale.
Well, let's talk about the horse first. So we used to race a horse named Turbo Compressor. He won a stake up here, but he most famously won the United Nations. But before we made him a turf horse, he ran in a Florida Stallion stake. And in that stake, Mucho Macho Man wound up beating us a length. And from that stake, Billy Mott had a horse in there too, between the first three horses, we won about 8 grade ones in a Florida Stallion stake. It's not really what we were expecting. But from that day forward, I was always a fan of Mucho Macho Man because, you know, a little transitive property. He beat us, figured that makes us all the better,
redemption.
The better he does. So we were here, I guess this is 18 months ago or almost 2 years ago, and we like to come up here, spend the weekend. My partner likes to fly up and eat at all the restaurants for the weekend. It's a beautiful time of year. And we bought a few weanlings, and it's kind of the program that I was talking about. It's supplemental to the ones we breed, and we like to do it because we think there's a better price point there. If people who have been involved in the yearling markets know, if you have a good-bodied colt especially, you can almost never buy them. And you even see at the top of the market the biggest names in our business needing to partner together to buy these colts. So for a boutique group like us that's really focused on value and trying to take something at a mid-level price and getting it to a high price, we have to look in a different market. And we've done that, and this colt was the first crop from the weanlings that we've bought, and he's a very long, leggy colt.
Yeah, and if they can show the page again, sure. Hit number 192, down at the bottom of a lot of black type there, but down under the third dam, she's this uncold fox, and if folks remember, that was a really nice little New York bred runner, really nice. I think she went up here a couple of times.
That would be more knowledge than I have,
came in from the Finger Lakes, and I think won here.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those situations, like Dr. Kastikoff, I think I had her that day.
That's, you always remember the ones you have, right?
But again, there's some nice black type there. Just take us through, so you buy her in October, she then sells, or he sells...
In April
of this year.
So in October, we send... We're very old-fashioned. We're very pasture-based. So the horses are out in the field growing up as naturally as they possibly can. About this time, a year ago, we would have started breaking him. Okay? And they start to learn to ride. And they spend September, October, November, December really putting a foundation in. Lots of mileage. Lots of jogging, going slow, learning to work with the rider. We spend a lot of time actually out in the fields and in the woods getting them acclimated to different environments. And then starting in January, we really start to prep them for the sale, which occurs in April of their two-year-old year. And Mr. Reeves was at the sale, and, you know, I'm sure we're not many Mucho Macho Mans are sneaking by him, and they bought him in April, and so far they're 2 for 2.
Yeah, and let me ask you that. Won the career debut at the beginning of the meet, and then just as I say a few days ago, wins a stakes race in start number 2 for 2, as you say. Are there any, as a pinhooker, are there any ever any regret? Do you look and say, oh, wow, that's a pretty good horse. Why'd we sell that one? Or do you just have to, when you're a pinhooker, do you just have to...
You can't. If you have regret, you can't be in the sales business. Let's be honest. The way I look at it is I have a happy client now.
Yeah.
I have someone who's had success with a horse we've raised and sold to them, and I couldn't be happier. And I'm hoping to have that client for the next 10 or 20 years as opposed to the quick pop of...
I guess if you're a pinhooker, that's a win for you. He wins on the track. You can look and be a little envious, but you know that now that has enhanced your reputation as a pinhooker.
I have no envy. I'm the second happiest guy at the track. Maybe third. There's a breeder out there somewhere who might be a little happier than me. But I'm right up there. I couldn't be happier for our clients.
On the ownership side, again, you have one in today. Hit a provisional in the eighth race. We're going to go back and look July 14th. So that was earlier in the meet. Subsequently, Hit a Provisional was in an off-the-turf race last time and wound up running sixth. But we're going to go back to the beginning of the meet on the turf. Hit a Provisional is going to be the number 11 horse, and we'll run a good second in here behind Fetching. And I mean a good second. This is a ding-dong battle down to the wire, chart margin and nose. And again, Hit a Provisional, the number 11 horse, will just miss in here. Comes back this afternoon. What were your thoughts out of this race and getting back to the turf this afternoon with Hit a Provisional?
Well, we were kind of surprised how well she ran. She'd been off a long layoff. This is a mile and an eighth, almost twice as far as she'd ever run before. We just wanted to get a race into her, and she wound up running a huge one. Contested the pace the whole way and just got caught at the end, and that was a real bonus for us. We were really happy with how she ran. We had to come back. We kept her in the off-the-turf race just because it's hard to find spots up here, and we were concerned we wouldn't have been eligible to run today if we did scratch. It's clear, even though she won a race on the dirt, it's pretty clear she prefers the turf a lot better. She's doing well. You know, I don't have any special information. She's doing well. We hope she fits that group. We hope she'll be competitive. And, you know, we shorten up the distance a little, which probably helps her. But
we'll root for you, certainly. And you brought up a topic because I always say here at Saratoga, during the season, new people come in, and I'm sure viewers here are maybe new to the game. But when you run, when you stick in an off-the-turf event, that then gives you first preference for the next turf race, right?
Well, I think technically what it does is it keeps our earlier date alive, which preserves preference, if I get it correct. I don't want to mess this up. But I think what it does is it keeps our date from the beginning of the meet alive,
okay,
which makes us much more likely to get into an oversubscribed race. And the race today was so oversubscribed, they actually split the race. There's a lot of New York breds in that condition, a lot of fillies who are pretty decent who want to run. This is your last opportunity to run up here in Saratoga. So it's obviously, we knew it would be a popular thing, and we wanted to preserve as much of our preference as possible.
Very good. Wish you a lot of good luck today with Hit a Provisional. Again, congratulations on the pin-hooking job with City Man. And great work also with the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. We appreciate the visit.
My pleasure, Seth. Great to be here.
Joe Applebaum, President, New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. Again, the great aftercare programs, and you can learn more about their ownership group as well by visiting the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association website. All right, we'll take a break. Dan Collins, Bonaventure. Bonaventure Day down at the Clubhouse Racebook, and they've got one in this afternoon as well. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Looking for a fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouth-watering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, hey, it's our friend Dan Collins from Bonaventure Stable. Going to talk a little win. We're going to talk a little hope for a win and more. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Seth.
Happy to have you back in again to talk a little Bonaventure. And certainly appreciate your kind of participating in Bonaventure Day down at the clubhouse racebook. Again, folks who go to the racebook today, first 50 folks through the door, a little Bonaventure swag and a $2 win bet on River of Dreams. We'll talk about that one a little bit later coming up in the second race. But again, we appreciate it. And I guess if people go down, they can find out a little bit of maybe about actually participating as well.
That's correct.
Why don't we let you tout people who can't make it down and talk a little bit about Bonaventure and as a partnership. We had you in earlier in the meet, and I know I had people walk up to me and say, hey, I got to learn more about that. But we have partnership folks in throughout the meet. There are all different levels and all different points of participation. Talk a little bit about Bonaventure and kind of what your game plan is.
Well, as you know, we've been in business for about 15 years now. We started just with a group of friends, and the group of friends have now grown into maybe 50, 60 different people involved. We're small. We have 10 horses. We really don't want to get any larger than that because we want to provide very personal attention to each individual owner in the horse. And generally, we offer 5% and 10% shares in each of the horses that we syndicate. And ownership in those go from as few as 6 to as many as 20. And, our goal is to get people introduced to the game. Yet to be, many of them are first-time owners. They've always thought about doing this. They've noticed that our prices are reasonable. Our horses perform. So they've gotten involved. And we have a lot of social events as well that we want people to be a part of. So we're about the personal attention to the individual.
And if folks want more information as well, Bonaventure Stables, type that into Google. You have a website that has all kinds of information as well. But, yeah, talk a little bit about the social because I was going to bring that up. Up here at Saratoga, I think it's key because people, I said earlier when I had Joe Applebaum on, you guys had the nice event in the paddock tent, and we did a little handicapping seminar there. You also had the nighttime event over at the Racing City Brewery, and again, a lot of smiles and a lot of camaraderie, and then you wind up in the winner's circle. We'll hit on that in a moment, but talk a little bit about bringing people into the game and just... It's fun to own a horse, it's fun to win, but the social aspect is a big part of it as well.
The social aspect is, and people want to converse with their other owners, and they want to be part of it. So we do a couple things here at Saratoga. We do hold an annual weekend for all of our owners. We open it up to our owners, their families, and their friends. And we put 100 people in the paddock tent on a Saturday afternoon to watch the races. We provide them with a buffet lunch. And the last several years, we've been fortunate enough to have the OTB handicappers come in. And the response from people has been phenomenal because they don't often get a chance to really understand how to read a past performance. But by you all taking the time to take them through it and then spend some time with them after, talking to them individually, really helps a different. And, you know, I thought it was just an added bonus, and the response we've gotten from these people is just tremendous. Also, on Friday evening of that weekend, we hold a social event. And, again, we've been fortunate that our trainers come, some of our jockeys come, the OTB folks come, and they co-mingle with all of our people. And nobody in there knows who's a big owner and who's a small owner. And they're all treated the same way. And we just want them to get to know each other. We hand out sheets that'll tell you, here's the owners in your horse. Go find them. Talk to them. Get to know each other and create some relationships with them.
Yeah, we were at both of the events in the Racing City Brewery. It was a lot of fun. Again, a lot of smiles and just a lot of good conversation about horse racing in general, and that's always fun here during the Saratoga season. And in the tent, the past couple of years, we have given the handicapping seminar. It's fun. Afterwards, people come up and ask questions. It's always fun to kind of fill people in and get their opinions also.
Yes.
So it's certainly, as I say, the social aspect. You guys do a great job. And it's a lot of fun, but let's get to it. Let's get to about a week or so ago, right up here at Saratoga, August 22nd. And I guess what comes around goes around, because you had a couple of horses that I liked earlier in the meet get scratched off because we had off-the-turf events. But Dark Storm benefits, an off-the-turf event on August 22nd. Dark Storm out on the MTO list winds up as the number 14 horse you're going to watch here in the stretch. Dark Storm gets it done for Bonaventure Stables, and that we have a shot afterwards of you being interviewed by Maggie. And I tweeted out, when you're interviewed after the race by Maggie Wolfendale, it means only one thing. You've won a race at Saratoga. Here at Bonaventure Stables, talk a little bit about the win and the feeling as the horse came down the stretch.
Well, this is a horse that once we We ran him the first couple times short, and he didn't really show us anything. But the last two races, previous race, he had third. This race, he won. Once we stretched him out to a mile and an eighth, he became a new horse.
Yeah, I was talking to George Weaver after the race, and he said he thought the horse had a little more talent than maybe he had shown so far, and he was kind of feeling that that was what we saw the other day was what the horse had. And still fairly lightly raced, nice little win there. And as I say, the interview after the race with Maggie Wolfendale, that had to feel good.
It did. And, you know, one thing I would point out that you notice this is his fourth career race. He has a third and a second in the last two. And if you look at Saratoga, you'll notice that a lot of the larger owners, they'll give up on a horse very quickly after the third or fourth race. We don't. I mean, we give a horse some time to grow and develop because we are a small partnership. And most of our owners get very close, and they think of the horse as theirs. And it's they really feel a part of that. So I just wanted to point out that one of the things we do is we'll be patient with horses. We'll give them a chance to grow and develop.
And as a handicapper, I just can appreciate that because a lot of times you see five or six or seven starts into the career, they get what I call the light bulb moment. It takes them a while to kind of figure out the game. And some horses, that's just the way it is.
It is, and we've had that now with two horses like this, one that is with a different trainer, Leah Germani, Bold Gem. We ran Bold Gem on the dirt the first two times, and you could have beaten him with a trailer. But as soon as we put him on the turf, he just exploded. And he finished third here a couple weeks ago. We were hoping to get him in toward the end of this meet, but it doesn't look like they're going to write that condition. But we've got him pointed to an opportunity on September 7th at Belmont really looking forward to.
Yeah, all right, we'll be looking forward to that as well. All right, let's take a look today. Speaking of opportunities, River of Dreams, and again, the first 50 folks through the door at the clubhouse racebook will get a $2 win bet. And this time of year, last year, of course, wasn't it Leave 'em at the Gate?
It was Leave 'em at the Gate.
Was everybody got a $2 bet on that one? I want to say about $30 on Leave 'em at the Gate.
I think it was.
So we'll see if we can do the same with River of Dreams. I'm going to go back and pull the last win. That was at the end of last year down at Aqueduct. River of Dreams is the number one horse, has had four starts this year and only a third place finish to show. But, you know, the buyer in the last start seemed to indicate maybe the horse is kind of primed and moving in the right direction. Your thoughts this afternoon on River of Dreams?
Well, we think a little bit of the same. Obviously, we're always optimistic about our horses when they run. But he didn't run well the first time here at Saratoga. But the last race was a significantly improved race. When Kendrick Carmouche got off him, he said, "We can win this race. I want back on him." So we're looking forward. We're hopeful for today.
And again, this was at the end of last year, but that was a nice win down at Aqueduct. And again, the number down there was pretty good, too. There's some back numbers that stack up with this field. I'm a buyer's guy, so I'm always looking at that. But I think he has the numbers and seems to be kind of primed to move in a good direction today. We'll keep our fingers crossed for the folks down at the racebook with their $2 bets. But also for you guys as well, love to see you in the winner's circle also. I've said it before. I know a few of the local owners that are involved with Bonaventure. They're very happy. And so if you're out there thinking about it again, visit the website. But as they see you bouncing around the track, they can check in with you as well, correct?
They can. And I would just mention when I was on earlier in the first week of the meet, it was quite interesting because we talked for 3 or 4 minutes. And I had three different people stop me that afternoon at the track to come over and congratulate me and just say, "Thanks for doing that. That was really informative." And stopped and we chatted for a while. So there are a lot of viewers on your program.
I appreciate that. I get a lot of feedback on the front side as well, but hopefully it turns out that some people get in and have some Bonaventure fun as well. Dan, appreciate the visit again. Touting again Bonaventure Day down at the Clubhouse Racebook. First 50 folks get some swag, $2 win bet on River of Dreams. Learn a little bit about the partnership. You can do that as well at the website, Bonaventure Stables. Type it into Google and you can pull it up. Or say hello to Dan over on the front side. Dan, good luck this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Dan Collins, Bonaventure Stables. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We will wind it up for a Friday morning. Stay tuned.
Yeah. BetWare's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game? To be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Time to wrap things up, and I was getting the business from the control room during the break because I'm like 20 minutes ahead of yesterday. We had a nice interview with John Velasquez yesterday. If you didn't see it, go to the Capital OTV YouTube channel and pull up the archived replay from yesterday. He was at the end of the show, but I didn't even realize it. We were just kind of having a great conversation. I look up, I was like, oh, I'm late. I got to get out of here. But again, you can catch the replay of that if you didn't see it live yesterday. And as I say, I got a lot of good feedback on the front side yesterday. People like the Johnny interview. So check that out. The Capital OTV YouTube channel, yesterday's Racing Across America. Before I step out for today, let me remind you, promos coming up. Today is a fan appreciation day at the Catskill Mountain Lodge branch. That is noon to 5 p.m. today. Give us our chance to say thank you to you. First 50 folks get a bet voucher, a giveaway, and a program. There's contests, food and beverage. Catskill Mountain Branch. Catskill Mountain Lodge Branch. Today, noon to 5. Today, also as mentioned with Dan, Bonaventure Day at the Clubhouse Racebook. First 50 folks get some swag, get a bet voucher on their horse today, and more. So that's the Clubhouse Racebook today. 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Today, also the return of the Bounty Bet. $800+ in the bounty. You get a chance at all or part of that by playing the late pick five at Saratoga with your Capital OTB bet account. So jump in, take your shot at the bounty. There's also a pick five play. I'm pretty sure that team has already been selected, but you can check out the Twitter account, I suppose, or the website for the ticket and just see where Mike Callahan's playing. Take a look and see what he played. Maybe that'll give you some ideas. More importantly, tomorrow there's the $1,000 bankroll with Sully. That team definitely has been selected. That closed last night. But Sully will be in tomorrow here on the network with cut-ins live during the afternoon. Those are fun to watch just because, again, with the bankroll, he'll have plays, and that may give you some ideas of what direction you might want to go in during the afternoon. So, again, tune in tomorrow afternoon here on the network for the $1,000 OTB live bankroll with Sully Crotty. Tomorrow also there's an Empire 6 promotion at the Clubhouse Racebook. That's tomorrow at the Racebook. Sunday at the Racebook, a double promotion, a match bet and a Naira pick 4. Again, those are both at the Racebook Saturday and Sunday, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Monday, there's a mandatory pay here at the track with the Empire 6 bet. I'll have $250 to jump into that mandatory pay with. On behalf of 20 folks, go to the website for your opportunity to sign up and potentially get selected for that team that will be playing into the Empire 6 mandatory payout on Monday, coming up on Monday. Here at the racetrack, again, there's a pet adoption clinic out by the Big Red Spring today. Sunday, they're giving away, the last giveaway looks nice, the hoodie zippered sweatshirt. That's a giveaway here at the track on Sunday with paid admissions while supplies last. Sunday also the last shot at the roller. I got to do something to that low rollers. I 2 weeks ago I would have been in the money, but I pressed the wrong button, and so I'm lamenting that. But other than that, I have whiffed Yesterday, I said during the handicapping show, or I think when we were talking to Stabile maybe, yesterday was a little tough because with the $75 winner in the third race, I thought maybe two people would have it. I still have a shot at maybe third or fourth or fifth place. Five people had it. So at that point, you're kind of out of it as they all went well over $100 taking a shot with that $75 horse in the third race. So yesterday was a little tough, but I'll take my last shot on Sunday in the low rollers. And now I'm getting the business. I talk about having whiffs so much. I go over and sign up, and the other people in line are all like, you got to do it today. Yeah, I know I have to. And now the last one comes up on Sunday, so I'll take my last shot there. And, of course, Monday, as mentioned, mandatory pay in the Empire 6 pool. And, again, should it hold up and not get hit over the next few days, it will be very exciting with a nice big pool on the mandatory pay on Monday. Again, don't forget to pick up a Times Union and check out the TU versus OTB battle that has been going on through the entire meet. It was tied going into the yesterday. The TU picked up one, so they're one ahead of us going into the last 4 days. Should be a lot of fun, and if you pick up the TU, you can follow that throughout the afternoon as well, the Times Union. All right, I'm going to wrap things up. Four, Racing Across America on a Friday morning, a gorgeous Friday morning that is slated to turn into a gorgeous Friday afternoon. It looks like a great weekend of racing up here. As far as the network, it will continue tomorrow morning with the Handicappers Report at 9. Brian Edo steps in with Saturdays at the Spa at 10. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit LeahCars.com. Leah Cars for life. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.